Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Understand this. The God of the Bible is the God of today. Everything you read about him is true from cover to cover. I was listening to Franklin Graham interviewed last night on Fox News. He's being interviewed by Greta. And they just walk in such great humility.
Yes, they do.
And he's just, you know, telling things the way they are. And he says, well, listen, Greta. He says, I just believe the Bible from cover to cover. It's the true word of God. And so, and he's basically saying, I can't change that. So I'm not going to say anything else. And understanding what he's saying is I had to say some things about marriage in North Carolina that they were challenging me because of that, he said. And immediately the same day, he got two letters from the IRS saying that he was being audited. Both of their ministries are being audited. And the letters were dated the same day.
Wow.
And of course, we can stand up for values and issues. Has nothing to do with it. We just don't support any political candidates or anything like that. Besides, there's no hope in a man, any man. And every man needs God and needs a creation in their life. And you should be praying for whoever's in leadership in your city and your state and your nation. And if anybody needs prayer right now, our president and his family and those in Washington need prayer. They need God's wisdom. And he says, pray for those in authority over you so that you may have a peaceful life. Listen, I'm seeing great unrest on the horizon. It's not time to criticize. It's time to pray. It's time to obey God. And he said, obey. And if you're in America, you're living in a democracy. I mean, come on now. You're not living under a king or anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pray for our president. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for his, pray for the House of Representatives and the Senate. And pray for the judiciary branch. And understand that they're human beings like we are, and they have ears like we do, and they can hear, and God loves them, and they're not where they are. God's not unaware of where they are,
That's right.
He can speak to them where they are. And but if you're criticizing them instead of praying for them, instead of just trying to seek God's perspective and what he wants you to do, then you're just adding to the problem.
Right.
You're adding,
stirring it up.
You're stirring it up. And so remember that. So he says, you know, I believe it from cover to cover. And what Franklin was talking about was he had to stand up for what God says about marriage. And in the context, the people obviously took that in because they saw things in a different viewpoint. But he's saying, I can't change that.
Right.
I can't change that. And if this makes you feel comfortable that when we read the Word of God, we have to make adjustments in our life.
That's right.
You know, we're like, okay, I can't do that. You know, that's not good. That's not pleasing to God. And so every man has had to repent and constantly in the state of humility, being willing to adjust to any moment what God would have in for us to do at that time. So the same word that may challenge you and convict you of your sin is the same word that challenges us and convicts us and keeps us in a place before God. Where one man would see that, hey, I want to stay in my sin. I want to follow darkness. And they see it as a negative thing. A believer says, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he goes, this is what he says. He says, the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He's saying the word of God is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I do, I hate. In other words, he's struggling with the reality of who he was, but the awesomeness and the perfection of what God's word is from cover to cover, like Franklin said. And in the context of that, he says, so this is what I say. He says, I just thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the law.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for the Bible because it shows me where I'm off.
That's right.
It shows me where I'm off, and it lets me know where I need to make corrections in my life. And by God's grace, we're able to do that. It's not you can't do this in works, but you just go, you're convicted, and you ask God to forgive you, and then you go, Lord, help me get back on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And he leads us like a shepherd on the path of righteousness. Sorry about this, American Gospel. For his name's sake, not yours. You know, this ain't about you. And in that, understand that so we're all the same. This is Paul who wrote, about one half of the New Testament. New Testament that we built Bible colleges off of. That he's saying personally that he is just like you. He's saying, listen, hey, I read the Word of God, and I have these great plans, but things don't work out. So I have to have the Word of God from cover to cover in my life, Because that, with the power of God, as I depend on his completed work on the cross of Christ, that in that, he will empower me to get back on the right path again. So what one man would say who wanted to stay in darkness, he would see condemnation, he would see rejection, and just have to separate themselves from the Bible. A believer goes, "Oh my goodness, I am so sorry, God. I see what," and then you're excited about it because it just shows the believer how they can please God, how they can walk rightly before the Lord. And how humble they have to be, because they know they can't do it in their own strength. And it makes me think of this, and I've talked about it before, but just kind of give you some insight. Because Franklin Graham just said this last night on Fox News, on the Greta program, Greta Wire, whatever it's called, on the Fox News. And we want to give the perspective of that. What is the light perspective of that, an L-I-G-H-T perspective? Well, the perspective is, we don't have no choice. We can't change God's word. And that's how we got in this mess that we're in right now, is we begin to change God's word. You hear somebody reads the Sermon on the Mount, and they go, "Well, this is what he really meant." I was like, "Where did the really meant book at? Yeah. Where's this really meant library at?"
Yeah.
Well, that's not the ministerial etiquette. Oh my goodness, there's a ministerial etiquette book. Where's it at? Yeah, I want to have that book. Hello. You know, it's like, it doesn't exist. Mm. And so, in that, then we think about this. Think about in America, football is not football. Like, it's not soccer, it's football.
Right.
You know, like the Saints and NFL and all that stuff. That, imagine playing football on a football field where you have the whole field's marked off, and one end of the field you have a field goal and the other end you have a field goal. Now, both of those are not your field goals. One is your adversary's and one is yours. And your job is to get to the other side, like the Saints used to. And with that, then you win the game by moving pretty much 10 yards at a time, and sometimes there's better plays than that, but face it, you're going to drive the ball, it's going to happen, unless you're a good passer, unless you're Tim Tebow and he mows you down. So the lines tell you how you're progressing and how you're moving. It tells the referees whether you're offside or not, you know, offsides, blow the whistle, they throw a flag, you know, and it's like, great. And everybody knows he's offsides. They even go back and do a replay, and they show where that player is in position of the ball and in positions of the lines. And the lines tell them whether they're offside or not. And the lines on the ball, there's even lines on the ball where they hold it. And all these things are very important. And so everybody knows the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike basketball, who just violated all the time. Anyway, so and then your goal is to get to the score the end zone and get down to the other end and, you know, get some points like the Saints used to. Now imagine having a field. It's a beautiful grassy field. You have seats, stadium audiences, the audience on both sides sitting watching the game. You have referees down there, but all you have is a big grassy open place, and you have no field goals, you have no painted lines, you have no end zones, you have no 50-yard line, you have no 10-yard marks and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you go in the middle of the field, they flip a coin, they go, "Let's follow God. No, let's play ball."
Mm.
And it's like, you're just walking into a mess. It's going to be mess. It's going to be a mess. Everybody's going to have their own idea what's offsides, what's not offsides. Everybody's going to question everything because there is no plumb line. There is no line. There is nothing that says this is a sin. This is not a sin. This is offsides. This is, you got a 10-yard penalty. And all of a sudden they just start saying, "Well, listen, preacher, the only reason that you're saying that I'm offsides is because you don't like me." And it's like, well, since I don't preach the line, since I don't preach the word of God, I'm sure your opinion probably is like that. But it's like, no, there's a line. Well, why don't you tell me about the commands of God? Why don't you tell me about the laws of God? And what happens is, eventually, pretty quickly, you're going to have fights, you're going to have squabbles, and everybody's doing what's right in their own mind, in their own heart, and not, because there is no lines on the field, there is no goal. Did you score the adversary's goal? Did you score your goal? Are you winning? Are you not losing? All your fans are going to leave because they're going to be offended by the calls that are taking place. Because if there is no rules in the game, you're not going to have any fans watching that game.
That's right.
Because they'll talk for years about a wrong call. But they only can know it's a wrong call if there was rules and there was lines.
Right.
But if there's no rules and lines, everybody's saying every single play. And that's what we've done today in the church. We quit preaching the word of God, and we got to get back to preaching the word. Not everybody, mm-hmm. but preaching the word of God. And what happens when you begin to preach the word of God, all of a sudden, all the players who call themselves the church that are on the team, God's team, you know, realize I'm on the wrong side. I am actually scoring touchdowns for Satan. Mm. But you start preaching, and so people are going to get conviction. They're going to be convicted by where they are on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to be convicted. This is not a negative thing. When your pastor begins to preach the word, or a teacher begins to teach the word, or you're hearing right now, or you go to VFNT and you hear the VFN TV and you listen to the word, or you're hearing the word, understand, don't feel bad that you hear that when you hear the word preached to you that you're living in sin. I might feel bad about the sin, but don't feel bad. Don't kill the messenger. Realize that God is letting you know. Now, all you have to do, like Paul said, okay, now I realize that I'm off sides. I need to make a correction in my life. That's where you hear the word repentance,
mm-hmm.
where you say, you know what? And so then you go back and get on your side. You don't stay on the wrong side. Now that you know it's sin and the word of God's been preached to you and you consciously stay in a place where you're crucifying Christ all over again, there's a chance that there's nothing for you at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is when you start preaching the word again, getting to the word of God and begin to preach the word, sir, ma'am, preach the word of God from your pulpit, preach the word of God from every platform God has given you, and understand everybody's who said they were on your team, they said they were on God's team, you're going to find out there's a lot of players that aren't on God's team. Mm-hmm. They just like the idea of it. But they didn't realize you got to play on the same side as God. You got to play on the same side as God. But what happens is there's people who love God who didn't know it was sin, like Nineveh when they said, God says they don't know their left hand from their right.
Right.
But when you get to teach them, this is your right hand,
mm-hmm.
this is your left hand, you know, and on, then they go, well, hey, great. I'm going to get on the right side. I'm going to listen to the quarterback. I'm going to get in my position. I'm not going to be envious of other people's position. I'm going to get in my position, and I'm going to do what I have to do to begin to get yardage and do what's right. And I'm going to live right before God in the context of what he says and his commands. I mean, it's so understandable in football. Why is it understandable in the church?
Right.
And the thing is, everybody's not going to love you when you start calling plays.
Mm.
When you start throwing flags in the air and go, that's just can't do that. Like Franklin Graham said, from cover to cover, I have no choice. This is the rules of the game. And by the way, it's not a game with God. He gave his son for you. God loves you so much that he gave his son, and he allowed his son to die and take on the consequences of being offside, to being on the wrong side, to being on Satan's team. That if you make him the king, the Lord, the savior of your life, if you say, you're going to be the quarterback, you're going to be the calling the plays in my life, if that's going to be you, understand at that point, everything you did wrong on the field is forgiven. It's forgiven. Then you go, I'm going to follow you, call the plays in my life. You tell me what to do. You tell me how marriage is. You tell me how family is. You tell me how finances. You tell me how business is. You tell me how the church is supposed to be. And I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. And I know that we all get a ring in the end.
Mm.
We all get a ring in the end. Because let me tell you who's going to win and who has won. It was Jesus Christ on the cross. He won.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He left death captive. Right?
That's right.
And he those who actually come and make him the Lord of the life, the quarterback of your team, understand this, that you win. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Understand, in the end, if you begin to preach the word of God, you'll find out who truly is on God's side. And then those who choose God, take care of them and love them and look after them. And those that are not, love them in hopes that they will make a decision to be on God's side.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.